The word of God given to us today is Revelation chapter 2, verses 18 to 29. It's page 401 in the New Testament. I will now recite the word of God. To the angel of the church in Thyatira write, "These are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are like blazing fire, and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your deeds, your love and faith, your service and perseverance, and that you are now doing more than you did at first. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed to idols. I have given her time to repent of her immorality, but she is unwilling. So I will cast her on a bed of suffering, and I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely, unless they repent of her ways. I will strike her children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am he who searches hearts and minds, and I will repay each of you according to your deeds. Now I say to the rest of you in Thyatira, to you who do not hold to her teaching and have not learned Satan's so-called deep secrets, I will not impose any other burden on you, except to hold on to what you have until I come. To the one who is victorious and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. That one will rule them with an iron scepter and will dash them to pieces like pottery, just as I have received authority from my Father. I will also give that one the morning star. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches." The Berlin Philharmonic Orchestra, London Symphony Orchestra, and New York Philharmonic Orchestra. Prominent orchestras such as these are normally named after the city that they are based in. However, the oldest orchestra in the world, which is based in Leipzig, Germany, is different. It's the Gewandhaus Orchestra. Gewandhaus is a word that has nothing to do with orchestras, musical instruments, concert halls, or music. If you look up Gewandhaus in the dictionary, it says, a building in medieval European cities where cloth was traded. It is equivalent to a textile center today. So Gewandhaus was a building where textile traders held meetings and displayed and stored cloth and fabric that they produced. So now let me tell you the reason why the concert hall and the orchestra was named after such a building. In 1743, 12 cloth merchants in Leipzig invited 12 musicians. And every month, they held a concert in their houses. These small concerts gained prominence as time passed. And more people wanted to participate in the concerts. And the merchants' houses were too small to house all the guests. So they came up with a solution. And it was to hold the concert in the Gewandhaus, a meeting hall where the textile merchants frequented. Since the space was bigger now, they needed more musicians. And they remodeled the interior of the building to provide a more comfortable seating for the people to enjoy the concerts. More and more merchants joined in, and they put their money together to continue holding the concerts at the Gewandhaus. Then, in 1784, they built a new concert hall and began to hold concerts there. but they decided to keep calling it Gewandhaus. And that name continues down to today. In the beginning, there was no real concert hall, no professional orchestra, nor professional conductor for the Gewandhaus concerts. Then, in 1835, a conductor was appointed as the chief conductor of the Gewandhaus Orchestra, and he was the famous composer Mendelssohn. So modest concerts that 12 merchants held, only with 12 musicians, led to the founding of a concert hall due to the interests and concerns of other small merchants, and finally led to the creation of a top-notch orchestra, and the orchestra became the pride of Leipzig. The Gewandhaus Orchestra was able to be born and was able to develop into a prominent orchestra in Leipzig because the textile trade was big in the city. Thyatira was the Leipzig of the ancient Asia Minor. Thyatira was located about 80 kilometers southeast of Pergamum. And if you go further southeast, about 65 kilometers from Thyatira, there was Sardis. Therefore, Thyatira was a crossway that connected Pergamum and Sardis. And Thyatira was also a gateway to Pergamum, which was the capital city of Asia Minor at the time. An army had been stationed in Thyatira. However, there was no highlands or hills where castles and protective walls could be built. So the city lacked the capacity to defend itself in the long term. Therefore, Thyatira's role was to earn time for Pergamum to prepare for battles if a war were to break out. Unlike the three cities, Ephesus, Smyrna, and Pergamum, which were previously mentioned, Thyatira was not a religious center of emperor worship, and there were no splendid temples for Greek gods in Thyatira. Apollo was the patron god of the city, and a legendary female oracle named Sambathe fostered superstitions among people. Thyatira is the smallest and the least known city among the seven cities that received a letter from the Lord. However, because it was located in a vast flatland, various types of small and medium-sized trades and industries had been developed there. Trades in leather, bronze, china, baked goods, and slaves had been well developed in the city, and it was particularly the center of dyed goods and wool trade. Associations of artisans and traders in such businesses, called merchant guilds, thrived in Thyatira. If you wanted to participate in trade and business transactions, you had to be a member of the guild. The guilds were very active and strong in Thyatira, to the point that names of the guilds, such as the Bronze Guild, Textile Guild, China Guild, and Leather Guild, were engraved on the coins that were circulated at the time in Thyatira. In the Bible, there is one person from Thyatira that's mentioned. In Acts chapter 16, verses 13 through 14, it says, "On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When the Apostle Paul and his company were led by the Holy Spirit and arrived at Philippi, no one was there to welcome them. On the Sabbath, they went to the river to look for a place where Jews can pray, and there were few women there. Among them was Lydia, a woman from Thyatira. Scholars believe that she had already received Jewish teachings at a synagogue in Thyatira. However, when she heard the gospel from Apostle Paul, God opened up her heart. There is about a 40-year gap between the time Apostle Paul met Lydia and the time when Apostle John wrote a letter to the church at Thyatira. We can assume that Lydia must have returned to Thyatira and influenced the church in Thyatira in great and small ways. The Bible notes that Lydia was a dealer in purple cloth. Purple cloth was a well-known product of Thyatira. Purple dye is mainly extracted from shellfish, crustaceans such as oysters, shrimps, and crabs, or the root of a plant called madder. In those days, clothes made with purple fabric was worth about 1,000 denarii. This meant you needed 3 years' worth of wages to purchase purple clothes. Lydia was probably a female owner of an international apparel business. The merchant guilds that thrived in Thyatira made life difficult for Christians, and the reasons were not necessarily limited to economic ones. Dinners for guild members were mostly held in the Temple of Apollo. They began with a ritual to offer food up to Apollo. Therefore, food, meat in particular, provided at the dinner, were those used as sacrifices in the ritual. So the Christians of the Church of Thyatira could not be indifferent about participating in the ritual and eating the food that were used as sacrifices for Apollo. On top of that, the dinners always ended with excessive drinking and sexual immorality. It's similar to Korean company workers today having dinner with their fellow workers and going to a pub or an alehouse afterward. This type of secular custom was also practiced in the church. And in such aspects, today's churches, particularly Korean churches and Christians, closely resemble the Thyatira church and their people. Revelation chapter 2, verse 18 says, "To the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are like blazing fire, and whose feet are like burnished bronze." The Lord sent a letter to the church in Thyatira. The church of Thyatira was the smallest and the least known church among the seven churches in Asia Minor that received a letter from the Lord. But the letter that was sent to the church of Thyatira was the longest of all seven. Although people didn't pay attention to the small city of Thyatira, the Lord carefully watched over his people who were living there. In July 1992, I began to work in the church as a minister for high school youth ministry. Then, in the middle of the next year, the year after that, I purchased the computer and began to prepare my sermons and other documents on the computer. So I have all the sermons and documents from then on my computer. Sometimes, every now and then, I read my old sermons or look up old documents I had made. And when I read the sermons I gave to the students at Sunday schools 15 or even 20 years ago, I get very ashamed even if no one else is reading them with me. My sermons from back then seem very crude, and some of them, I think, were probably difficult for the students to understand. In those times, I feel sorry for the students who heard my sermons at the time. That was the best I could do at the time. There are only a few Saturday nights I actually was able to sleep. And I spent many a nights pulling all-nighters or taking short naps at the desk while writing the sermons. When I look through my old contacts list, I feel even more sorry for the students than I do when I read my old sermons. While I remember a lot about some of them, I can't even recall the names of others. I can't remember some of their faces, and some of the names feel completely unfamiliar. And those students probably felt neglected by me at the time. Since I'm human, I have a lot of limitations. Even though I do my best, there are a lot of things I lack. A lot of the times when I should have looked back, I was unable to do so. But our Lord is different. He is the Creator and the Almighty God. So nothing is outside God's scope. That is why He knows very well about the church in a small city like Thyatira and can send a detailed letter to them. The Lord who sent the letter to the church of Thyatira has eyes like blazing fire and feet like burnished bronze. This symbolizes that the Lord will be a universal ruler. Human eyes can only see what's on the surface and what's in front of the eyes when it's bright. But there is nothing the Lord cannot see. He can't even see through people. The strength of the Lord's firm and solid power and ability is incomparable to the weightiness of burnished bronze. Moreover, the Lord who sent the letter to Thyatira is the Son of God. In all of the revelations, this is the only time the phrase Son of God is used. The people of Thyatira worshipped Apollo as the patron god who protects the city of Thyatira. They probably believed that Apollo defended their city from their enemies' attacks, fostered their guilds to provide more economic prosperity, and protected their homes. That Apollo was the son of Zeus. However, the Lord is saying that I, Jesus, the Son of God, is the one who protects you and rules you with an iron scepter. That Lord spoke to the church of Thyatira in verse 19. I know your deeds, your love and faith, your service and perseverance, and that you are now doing more than you did at first. The Lord said He knew four things about the Thyatira church: their love, faith, service, and perseverance. The word deed refers to those four things. First, the Thyatira church was the church of love. The church at Ephesus did not tolerate the wicked and tested those who claim to be apostles but are not and have found them false. They also persevered and endured hardships for the Lord's name. But they were rebuked for having forsaken the love they had at first. In their attempt to adhere to the doctrine and the authenticity of faith, the Church of Ephesus had forsaken an even more important thing, love. However, the Church of Thyatira didn't make such a mistake. God's love in the Bible is often linked to the cross. Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." God so loved us that he gave his one and only Son, and we believed in him and were able to gain eternal life. God could have just given us eternal life, but he didn't. Instead, he led his one and only Son to come live among us and die on the cross to give us eternal life. And in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." The way the Lord loved us was by forsaking himself on the cross. True love is not only forsaking our possessions, but also forsaking our own selves. It's not easy to give up what we have, so it's even more difficult to give up ourselves. One of the touching stories of the year that I heard was about a college student who saved a drunken man who fell into the subway tracks. On May 18th, around 11 o'clock at night, at Pyeongtaek Station, a drunken man staggered and fell into the tracks below, and he bumped his head against the ground and lost consciousness. Right about then, a freight train was coming into the station, and there was an announcement to be careful since a train was coming in. At that moment, Jung Young-woon, who was a junior in college, jumped onto the tracks, but he didn't have enough time to lift the drunken man up to the platform. So he dragged the man to the safety path next to the tracks to avoid the train. And only about 3 seconds afterward, the freight train rushed past them. The act of offering a hand to lift the person who has fallen onto the tracks back onto the platform is a beautiful one. But it's only possible when the person who has fallen onto the tracks can also reach out and grab the helping hand. If the person who has fallen is unconscious, then offering him a hand is not helpful at all. And the only way to help him is by jumping onto the tracks to be on the same level as him. When a train is coming in, you even have to risk your life. And that is why this college student's action was very touching. The reason our Lord's love for us is so moving is because he came down to earth and gave up his life to save us who had been spiritually dead. So the starting point for us to love God and other people with all our heart is knowing that our Lord's love for us is a great love. The Lord said he knows the Thyatira church's love. Moreover, he said that they are now doing more than they did at first. When the love we have now is greater and deeper than we had in the beginning, we are blessed. Secondly, the church of Thyatira was a church of faith. Faith is a gift that God grants us, and it's also what we show God. No one among us first found God by his own will. Even if we met God after deeply longing to meet him, we met God because he first came to us. And we realize that God has given us the hearts to look for him. So no one can boast of the fact that they were able to believe in God on their own. Because it wasn't through our passion or our will, efforts, or ability that we were able to believe in him. Also, Jesus rebuked us for our small faith at times and lauded us for our big faith. Here, faith refers to the kind of faith that we show God, how much we trust in him. God said that the church of Thyatira had faith, faith as a gift from God, and the faith to show God, and their faith was greater than what they had at first. What would the Lord say to each of us about our faith? Third, the church of Thyatira was a church of service. The Lord said that the church of Thyatira had service which was greater than it was in the beginning. The longer our life of faith gets, our service also goes through ups and downs. Service means taking responsibility for the work that the Lord has entrusted us. Therefore, service is my answer to God's calling. In order for our service to become greater and more in the future compared to the past, we have to be closer to the Lord. There is a gospel song titled, "The Longer I Serve Him." And the lyrics goes like this. Since I started for the kingdom, since my life it controls, since I gave my heart to Jesus, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The longer serve him, the sweeter he grows. The more that I love him, more love he bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. We, the 100th Anniversary Memorial Church, also pray that through serving him more deeply, our service will grow greater than it was before. We pray that in Saturday cleaning service, in the kitchen service, and parking service, we'll be able to experience his praise and joy that's springing from the bottom of our hearts. Fourth, the church of Thyatira was also a church of perseverance. Hupomone is Greek for perseverance, and it comes from the verb hupomino. The word is a combination of the prefix hupo, which means below, and the verb mino, which means to dwell. To persevere is not to ignore or run away from a situation, but to stand firm and live. We need perseverance because our lives and faith cannot develop the way we want. And they are not things we can manage on our own. Wouldn't it be great to go to work only on days when we feel like it? In our faith, wouldn't it be great if we could understand the Bible just by turning pages and come up with prayers just by closing our eyes and get the answers to our prayers right away? But that's not the reality. Our lives are full of situations we don't want and situations we want to get away from. We grow and mature in this environment. So the greatest fruit of perseverance is great character. The love and faith, service, and perseverance at the Church of Thyatira were like seedlings at first, but later on, they grew and became tall and beautiful trees. Today is the fourth Sunday of Advent. Thyatira was a small city, even in Asia Minor. But the Lord did not call Thyatira small. And he sent them the longest letter of all. This is because our Lord was also born in a small town. Micah chapter 5 verse 2 prophesies the coming of Christ. It says, "But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times." Calling Bethlehem small refers to its size, but also the fact that it was a poor and lowly city. So the Lord listens to everyone, great and small, and answers to their cries for help. Back then, the people of Thyatira thought in order to protect their businesses and families, they needed the merchant guilds and Apollo, the son of Zeus. Who takes care of our families? Who watches over our places of work? After life and death on this earth, who takes on the responsibility for us for eternity? If we can't answer with all our hearts the Son of God and set him up as our goal in life, he will say to us, as in verse 19, "I know your deeds, your love and faith, your service and perseverance, and that you are now doing more than you did at first." Let us pray. Father God, for that the one who protects and takes charge of our lives is the Son of God, Jesus Christ, we confirmed again today and we give thanks to you. We're weak and sinful, and sometimes we ignore or unknowingly pass by the small things. But we are grateful they're not the same. The sacrifices and the feasts held in Thyatira and their ugly deeds, they still exist today. Have mercy on us Christians living among these things and give us the courage to say it is wrong. And please take away the decadence and hedonism in our society today. As our faith grows greater, like the Church of Thyatira, let our love and faith, service and perseverance grow wider and deeper. With the love of Christ for us, let us become the people of love. And with the faith you have given us without return, let us show even greater faith in you. And by serving you more faithfully, let us be even more dedicated in the professions you grant. And if sometimes our lives do not go as planned, please let us keep to our current posts so that we may grow in character closer to you. So let the praise you gave to the Church of Thyatira be encouragement for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.